Thank you for this privilege. This privilege to be in your temple, but most importantly, this privilege to be in your presence. Through your grace and mercy, Lord, that was established by your Son at the cross. And here this day, Lord, I pray that you speak through my life into the lives of your sons and daughters, those that are here, and for those viewing online. Holy Spirit, have your way here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. You may have your seats, worship team. You may have your seats as well. I'm excited to be able to give the word here this morning. We're on a series right now on Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls. Amen. And it's going to be a simple message here this morning. And I pray somehow or another that the Lord meets you where you're at to give you insight to your next move, the next move within your life. We all have a next move to make. And all of the moves that we're making, maybe all of them, may be totally different. But I believe in the next move you make, it's an important next move, next step in your life. And my challenge to you here this morning is that next step, that next move that's so important within your life, it's so important that you want the Lord to step with you on this next step. It's almost like this next step is calling for a miracle to get you where you want to get to. Amen. And whenever the Lord is walking with a man, a woman, a young adult, anything and everything is possible. Because the Bible says that there is nothing that the Lord can do. What is impossible for man is not impossible for the Lord. Amen. How many before you came to the church were in some impossible situations there was no way out of? Then you get to church, amen, you get saved, and all of a sudden, breakthrough after breakthrough starts taking place within your life because of the added ingredient, the person called Jesus, amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, and those viewing online as well. The title to this morning's message is Halfway There, Halfway There. Or if anybody can raise their hand, or you're already where you want to be, just raise your hand right now. Some of you might feel like you're a long way from there. Some of you may not feel like you're halfway there. But nevertheless, the title of this morning's message is Halfway There. Me and my wife traveled to Iowa, just five and a half hours with the stops. But we needed enough gas in the van, not only to get there, which represented halfway there, but we needed enough money or enough gas in the tank to make it back home. So my question to you right now is, where do you want to get to? Where do you want to get to? What's your destination? And I know we all think big. If you're a little bit like me, you think big. My next question is, do you have enough gas in the tank to get there? And I'm not talking the gas you buy at the gas station, whether the price is $3 a gallon or $5 a gallon. Everybody has to pay it if they want to get to that destination. But here this day, my question is, do you have enough? spiritual gas within the tank, within your life, to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish in getting there, whatever there represents to you. And whatever there represents to you, you got to see the Lord tied to it. Because it's one thing to get to a certain destination on your wisdom, on your MapQuest off of your phone. But it's another thing to get to a destination, to their place, by the leading and the empowerment of Jesus. In the day and age we're living in right now, we need Jesus. The pastor needs Jesus. Guess what? You need Jesus. And we all want to accomplish great things, do great things. But do you have what it takes to get there spiritually? Because whatever it is that you're thinking of, the place called there, where you would like to get to in this life, amen, I believe the majority are thinking of something great, something big. And whenever you think of something great and something big, it's going to come with great big pressure. It's going to come with opposition. It's going to come with things that the enemy will use to prevent you and I from getting there. Make sense? The Lord's speaking already, amen? Let's spiritually pull up to the gas station right now and tell the gas attendant, fill it up. Tell your neighbor, I need the Lord to fill it up. There was a time in my life where I would put 13 cents in the gas tank to get there. Back then, the there was a mile away, and it was the connection. But back then, 13, you know, I'm going back 25 years, 13 cents will get you a long way, amen? 13 cents today don't even put a drop. But I literally, true stories, would put 13 cents in the gas tank, and a little pick of a little stick shift I had, and I would go, turn it off, and coast all the way there. Then I would get what I had to get. I would turn it back on again and slap it in neutral and turn it off and go coasting all the way back. I knew exactly what it took, not just to get halfway there, but all the way back in order to get what I wanted. And there's a lot here this day that I believe wants something good to take place within your life. You want to do something great, something big, but you're putting 13 cents of gas, of spiritual gas, in your tank, thinking it's good enough to get there and back. And just as was funny as me putting a natural 13 cents of gas to get up and back, it's even more funnier, spiritually speaking, to think we can make it on 13 cents worth of spiritual gas. There's regular, there's unleaded, and there's a better one, and then there's the spiritual gas. And too many times we think we can make it just the way we are right now. I'll make it. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, Pastor. I'm making it. But are you going to be able to get there? Are you going to be able to get to the place that Christ has called for you to get to from your life? Are you able to get your family there? Amen? See, how much spiritual gas you got within your life is important not only to your life, but to your family's life. Amen? Especially in the day and age that we are currently living in right now. Again, if you want something great, just like I do, in the building of this church, it comes from of pressure. It comes with a lot of ups and downs, disagreements. You just don't get there and back easy. Amen. It's never been easy. It never will be easy. But it does not make it impossible to get to the place that God has called you to get to. But I do know one thing. We're going to have to fill up this morning. We're going to have to fill up this morning, spiritually speaking. Once again, the title of the message is Halfway There. As we go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible reads, "At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm." Another translation says, "with all their heart." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, give you all the glory and all the honor. We come to worship you, we come to praise you, and we come to be filled of your spirit here this day, Lord, to be able to get there, to be able to get to the place that you have called us to get to, that it will not only bless us, but be able to bless others through us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. I want you to look at your neighbor, and I won't look, and tell him, do you got enough spiritual gas to get there? Now, if you didn't like what they told you, I want you to tell them back saying, do you have enough spiritual gas to get there? In most cars, when you get real close to the E, the dummy light comes on. The dummy light comes on and challenges to the point, says, I can get there. I'm in a rush. I can get there. And now the dummy light's blinking, saying, pull over and put some gas. And we tell ourselves, I can get there. Now, it's one thing to see off the side of the freeway an old car, you know, and a guy walking with a gas can. Amen? But I love it when I see it and it's a brand new vehicle that costs all this money and there's a person walking with a gas can that thought they could get there without having to put no gas. Can you get there? Are you able to get to the place that God has called you to get to? Do you have enough of Jesus within your life to get there? See, and the good news about Jesus is that he's so great, he's so big, amen, that we can continue to grow spiritually every day for the first year, the 20th year, the 50 years. We can always continue to fill up and grow because of how great God is. There's always room for growth in each and every one of our lives. And if we're going to get there, we're going to have to grow up in Christ. We're going to have to grow up. Too many trying to get there being immature. It doesn't work. Not even in the business place. It doesn't even work at McDonald's. Amen? Character flaws will disqualify you. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "At last the wall was completed to its half its height." Remember, we did a study on the walls. There were 39 feet. Let's just call it 40 for the math's sake. Amen. So in other words, remember the walls were over two and a half miles long around Jerusalem there that had been burned down and torn down, and the gates as well. So we're talking 2.5 miles. They were at the halfway point, which is roughly give or take 20 feet high. They were halfway there. And fulfilling the building of the wall there through Nehemiah. Amen. I put here in my notes, I believe it's where we're at right now as a ministry. We're halfway there. Coming April, it'll be 20 years since we've been in this city. Amen. 20 years we've been in this city come April. We didn't start in this facility that we have right now. We started on 18th and Mitchell on the south side with a 15-20-seater. It was an ex-ballerina place. They had mirrors. All the walls were mirrors. Everybody would be looking at themselves when I would be giving the word. All 7-8 people. Amen? And they had the little bars where the ballerinas put their leg up and stretch and do all that. And it was hot in there. It was on top of a carpet place there. Kathy Bell was her name that rented it out to us. $700 a month. How it was sweet back in those days. But something big was taking place in my heart, saying we were going to stay there. And then a place on the south side there that held about 200 people. And we arrived. We were there. Until something started stirring in my life again, something bigger, something greater, and it was God speaking, amen, and that's where we find ourselves now within this beautiful facility, but it didn't start here. We worked very hard and consistently to get where we're at right now. We had enough hard workers, enough spiritual gas in the tanks to get to where we're at now, halfway there. And here's where Nehemiah found himself in the people. They were halfway in completing the wall that ran longer than 2.5 miles around the city. They were halfway there. Over the years, we have had people that work with all their hearts. We still currently have people that are working with all their hearts. Why the doors are still open. We still have a leadership that works with enthusiasm, that's willing to get the job done and to continue to build. You see, it's at the halfway mark where you can do one or two things at the halfway mark. You can say, man, we still got halfway. That's still a lot of road. Give me the picture again. Halfway there picture. See the mountains way back there? That's there. So you can say, man, it's been 20 years and we're halfway there. And that looks like a long way still to go. But in what took us 20 years to get where we're at right now, it ain't going to take us 20 years to get there. Because when I first got here, we had no leadership, nobody, nothing but God on our side. And because we were stepping with God and moving with God and following the lead of the person of the Holy Spirit, we've arrived to this place. We're halfway there. And I believe, or we can look back, the other thing, the flip side of that coin is, man, if we made it all this way, we can make it the rest of the way. We can get there. We can get there. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I put here in my notes, is there something you started within your life and never completed? It was going good. It looked promising. There was gas in the tank. Things were going great. And then all of a sudden, opposition comes. A couple of potholes of what I call life, what I call ministry. And you find yourself not getting there, but making it halfway. Is there things within your life that you were trying to accomplish? You were doing good. You were doing great. You were the guy, the girl. Things were looking promising. But enough things took place that stopped the work, whatever it was that you were trying to build. Because what you wanted for your life was something greater than was given to you. What you wanted for your family was something greater than your parents gave you. And the there was something big and great, and the there came with an adversary, not just people, but the enemy himself. What are a few things that stepped in on you? The Bible says you were running a good race. Who stepped in on you? What stepped in on you? Why did you stop running? And it's just that the place that we're trying to get to is so great that the enemy don't want us to get there. He doesn't want us to get there, so he's going to set up camp to stop you from reaching the place called there, whatever there represents to your life, your goals that you have, your long-term goals. Do you really have what it takes to get there and stay there? Because many can get there, but because of pressure and the running out of spiritual gas, they can't stay there. You look back in your life of things that you wanted to be this, you wanted to be that, and it looked good, but enough things stepped in to stop the destination call there from ever taking place within your life. And then we speed up to present day, Sunday morning, right now, and because of grace and mercy, again, way ahead of you. And once again, you find yourself in a good position, but what are you going to do different in order to establish yourself? Amen. To be able to get there. What are you mistakes are you going to learn from? Not just to being able to get there, but being able to take a group of people to get there also. Because it's one thing to get there by yourself, but the plans you got are so great that it's connected to people that you're not just going to be a leader that knows how to get there, but you got to be a leader that knows how to take a group of people to get there to accomplish what you want to accomplish, that dream, that goal within your life. You're going to need people help. You're going to need pastor help. And most importantly, you're going to need Jesus' help. What are you going to do different this time around to get there, not alone, but with a group of people? Because it's a group of people to accomplish what you, the dream you got. Nehemiah had to do 2.5 miles of wall, 20 feet made out of stone, not wood, but stone. He needed people that couldn't even believe for themselves. People that were used to already being defeated. And he rallied them up. Last Sunday we read where he would position the families with the wall that was right across from their house. Let's go there. The scripture says, let's go Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28. It's a key scripture. Amen. I have it here, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. I didn't give it to the girls in the soundboard. There it is. Above the horse gate, the priests repaired the wall. Each one repaired the section immediately across from his own house. Amen. So what Nehemiah did, he got all these people that were defeated, that didn't have it together. And what he did, he challenged the families. Not just to build any part of the wall, the 2.5 mile wall, but he challenged them to build the portion of wall that was immediately in front of their house. And the reason he did that was, I shared last Sunday, if this Mr. Gonzalez and family did their part, their wall would be 39 feet high. And if the Joneses did their house, amen, did the wall, did their what they were supposed to do, well, right by Mr. Gonzalez, there was another part of wall done 39 feet high, amen. But then we had, oh, I hope I don't lay nobody's names again. I'm going to use the word Sally. And if your name is Sally, I'll come to you after the service. Amen? So now there's this wall built 40 feet high in front of the Gonzalez family. There's another wall in front of the Joneses family. They did their work 40 feet high. They're connected. Now they got two portions of wall 40 feet high. But Sally thought she could make it with the gas she had, the 13 cents of spiritual gas. Thought she could make it. So she said, I'll put it off doing what the church told me to do. I'll put it off for next week. Mañana lo hago. Mexican famous saying, meaning tomorrow, I'll get it done tomorrow. Mañana. When the Bible says that tomorrow's not even promised. So Nehemiah knew, okay, then Sally didn't do her work. And then we got the Reinas. They did their work. 40 feet high. So now we got a section of wall of the Gonzalez's is built. Then we got the Sally said, mañana, and she was Caucasian. I think it was important to build her portion of the wall. Remember, the walls keep the enemy out. They're protected. That's why they were 40 feet high. And then the Reinas did their job. So all of a sudden, there was a wall here. But in between the Gonzalez and Jones, there was a section of wall that was not built. And then there was a section of the Reinas that was built. So when the enemy attacks, it would come through the portion that was not built. And the first house they would hit was the Sally's house. So what Nehemiah did, he says, I'm going to put some pressure on these families. And because I know I got some faithful families here, and I'm gonna let them build right immediately in front of their home. And one repaired the section immediately across from his own house. So Nehemiah being, he strategically put the families to work with the portion of wall that was immediately right before them. Knowing that if they didn't do their part, that the enemy was coming through that portion of the wall, and the first person they were going to jack, as we would say on the south side, was Sally's house. So it's important that we do our part, that we're able to get there. Picture again, please. That we're able to get there. We're halfway there right now. Spiritually speaking, within your life, you may see something forming, something coming together, but you know you ain't there yet. And simply by where you're at right now, you know there's opposition. Simply where you're at right now, you know you're going to need people. One of the hardest people to work with is people that operate in the natural. Because everything that we see in the natural, that we go off in the natural, first starts in the spiritual realm. So it'd be very important if you want to be successful in the natural of what you're trying to accomplish, that you would have it together in the spiritual realm. Amen. When the spiritual realm aspect of your life is correct, when the Lord sees it fit to get you there, you're going to have what it takes to stay there. You're going to have what it takes to continue to scale whatever the Lord has given to your life. So he's given us all work in building this spiritual wall before our house. Spiritual wall around our minds and the way we think when the pressure comes. Are we wise or do we buckle under pressure? Spiritual walls around our hearts. Spiritual walls around our feet to go in the right direction. And each one of our families need to go to work spiritually. building up the walls of protection for your life, for your children's life, for your neighbor's life. For you can have a house that is a safe house, even if it's smacking the hood, smacking the north side. Your house is a spiritual house. There's safety in your house. There's walls all around your house with the protection of God at your house. You're there. You're there. What good is it to get there to lose it all? We still have currently people working hard right now, but we need more workers. There's a lot more wall to build that goes around this city. Amen? I was doing great in California. Everything was good. My marriage, everything. Until I came to Milwaukee. Didn't even know one street, one alley. But not long after, going in the streets every day and everything, pretty familiar now with Milwaukee. And the wall that the Lord has called me to build, people. I need people. On a perfect day, I can't get it done, and I'm not going to have a perfect day. Amen? I need people. And I want to encourage you, and I want to, so I strategically, like Nehemiah, I use your family as a little leverage to get some spiritual gas within your life. Something that I know works. Is there something you started and never completed? As if you never put an hour of work towards that goal, because you ran out of gas, ran out of esteem, you got bummed out, and you went back to the familiar, to what you know how to do well, but it'll never get you to the there of your life. But this is where we started locally and internationally. This is where we're at today, 19 years later. When I came 19 years ago with my family, and in the beginning of international work, what is the Lord? They called us the Drug Addict Church back in East LA when it started. They'll never change. They're a bunch of drug addicts. More or less build something. But today, the present time now, we're all around the world in over 30 countries with a bunch of X, this, and that's a bunch of U's and I's. In over 30 countries right now, because God was with our founder, he gave him a vision of the there, which was reaching every inner city of the world. Now, I know that plan is bigger than everybody's plan right now in this church put together. And it seems like an impossible plan when it was prophetically given to our ex-addicts he had to work with. No money, no facilities, but God gave him word. And then God would start giving them people, not perfect people, but people, once they got right and got saved, there would be a willing people, a committed people, a down people. That didn't have a clue to how to get to the there that God had for their lives. And today, currently, we're all around the world. That started off in a garage with a rehab home over 55 years ago. And we're in the there right now. As an international movement, we're in the there where God gave our founder over 50 years ago. We're in the there right now. And it's being made up, the there of the international global work is being made up with churches like ours that are able to empower the there vision that was given to our founder. Isaac just got back from the training center from the West Coast. Amen. Let's give him a good clap offering. Was he qualified? No. He came to the rehab on psych medication. They didn't know up from down. They didn't know nothing. But then God stepped in and started filling him up, started filling his life up with his plan. And now he's ushering right now with a big old Colgate smile from ear to ear. My own daughter is in Amsterdam right now. One of the top students there in the training center right now, that when she was with us, I couldn't get her to do nothing. Might as well go down. The momentum brought me here. Amen. Couldn't get her to do it. But when I put her in their global vision of our ministry, now she's doing great. She's doing great right now. Is it going out? Come on. You got to move quicker than that. Moving way too careful. Praise the Lord. Check 1, 2. I haven't done this in a long time. Hold the mic. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can still walk, talk, and chew gum all at the same time and preach. Our ministry is a miracle ministry where God would use unqualified people, put them in position, qualify them, and then send them out. Amen. Pastor Jamie was with us, and he's now in Jacksonville, Florida. His little sweetheart daughter, Gracelyn, is here. She's going to be with us after the service. Fruit. Pastor Felipe and his family are in Jacksonville, Florida right now, helping Pastor Jamie. I could have kept Pastor Jamie and Tammy and everybody here to grow what I wanted to do. But we're an international movement that calls for us not to release the worst, the bottom of the barrel, but to release the best. Nobody at McDonald's is going to get rid of their best. They want to keep the best. They want to get rid of the one that's high maintenance. But in our ministry, why we're all around the world in over 30 countries is because we develop people and we send our best to reduplicate the work over and over and over, because we serve the same God of yesterday, today, forevermore. We're in Africa, we're London, Europe, California, Texas, all partes de Mexico, amen, all around the world. With a bunch of people like you and I. I've been there, done that type of people. That God has gotten us to the there. But then I have the local vision. Our vision here in the church. We ain't there yet, Jack. Title of the message, Halfway There. But we have the people, if they were to get committed, we got the people to get there. And what the Lord has given me, but too many times we get more caught up in what we need than what the city needs. God's taking care of my needs and then some. I know my call upon my life is to meet the need of this broken down city that needs the walls, you know, repair, that needs the protection, and, you know, for God to be able to work in a man's life, to work in a woman's life, to work in a young adult's life. We can do it, church. And I stand optimistic that I know we can get there. We're halfway there. And the halfway we already traveled is the proof that we can make it the other, that half of the way that's left to get to the place that God has called us to get as a local church here in the great city of Milwaukee. In Nehemiah chapter 4, 1 and 3, when the work first started, I opened up in verse 6, they were halfway there. But this is where they first started. When Nehemiah came and showed up at the scene, When we first showed up at the scene in the year 2003, I believe. We got here in April 2003. In the beginning, Sisamalat was very angry when he heard, when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. He was ridiculing them, making fun of them. Amen. Next verse, please. Saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews, talking about us right there, okay? All right. What does this bunch of poor, feeble is a fancy word for weak, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day? They're putting them under the bus, amen? By just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from rubbish, heap, and charred ones at that? Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, he jumped in the action, that stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it. Amen. Is somebody doubting what you're trying to accomplish right now? You're talking big. It sounds good. It's big. And because it's so big of a vision, people will doubt that you'll ever get there. They'll doubt it. It's easier to be a player hater than one that comes behind and says, let's do it. We're halfway there. We can do it. We got to this point, we can get there. But it's easier to mock a person in not getting there to a place they've never been before. See, it's much easier to speak about a place we've lived all our lives in, our mentality or an actual place of living. And the there represents a place we've never been before. So we can't imagine or think to get to the there in the condition of the now. You can't think that in your former condition right now, spiritually speaking, mentally speaking, that if you were to get there, would you be able to stay there in your former present condition? There's some changes got to make place. There's some changes got to take place. And here they're cutting it up. They're looking at Nehemiah and the crew. I believe there were workers that, you know, had holes in their pants. They were poor. They were feeble. They were defeated. The walls had been burned down for, I believe, hundreds of years already. It was a way of life. And here comes Nehemiah saying, this is the plan. We're going to build this wall. What? I believe the workers didn't look like workers. I don't believe they had a company shirt on, a company hat, a name on their shirt. They looked like people that couldn't get the job done. And they started making fun of them. I was made fun of when I first got here. And the reason was because the enemy had already taken three Victory Outreach pastors out before me that were more educated and biblical than I was getting here at the beginning to this city. So I had a lot to come against that, I mean, the day I landed here. Amen. I was just looked at as another pastor, number four, that was going to get, you know, sent out of this city. This is where it started. It's where it started. It didn't start today. It started with nothing. My family, babies, on 15th place, 54 South 15th place, on an alley, a notorious alley in 2003. The SWAT team was there every day. I mean, houses on fire, cars on fire, shootings down there. God, where did you bring me? What's this place called again? Didn't have nothing. How many knows El Reyes? He's a big timer now. He got a few stores, amen? True story. We would go to El Rey's every day with three or four pans. At the end of the night, the guy would throw the food out, and we would give him three or four clean pans, and he would give us three or four pans full of beans and rice, all types of meat and everything of the day. Man, we ate that stuff for months where we got sick of it. For months and months. Yep. Once in a while, I'll go in there. Oh man, Ernesto se llama. And I'll go. He's always just standing behind the registers like that. He's old, up in age now. And I'll always say, he goes, hey, ¿cómo estamos, Pastor Charlie? And I always just go up to him to say thank you for the time when we came and we had nothing. We had all the food in the world from El Rey's market when he only had the one on 16th, not the new ones yet. And he would say, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. You know, real humble, don't worry about it. He made a difference in our ministry, and I just wanted him to know that. Amen. What they were throwing out at the end of the day was what was feeding us, and my family included, my children. We didn't start in this place. We're halfway there, church, but we're no longer on 15th place either. We're no longer 18th in Mitchell. We're no longer on 25th in National, because we're halfway there. And this is the place where people can get tired and fall off, or people can get encouraged and say, man, if we made it halfway, we can make it the other half, amen? I need some encouraged people that says, if we made it this far with nothing, we can make it the rest of the way with something. So from 1 to 3, there were a joke at the beginning work of this wall that were being made. They said, if a fox jumps up there, a 20-pound animal, it'll make the wall fall. Amen? But in opening verse 4-6, it says, last the wall was completed to half its height around the city. So now they weren't a joke no more. They weren't being laughed at no more. The walls were halfway up, 20 feet up in the air, all around the city. All the gaps had been closed. So now, what started as a joke was a threat now to the enemy. Us starting here 19 years ago was a joke with the methods we used in getting the gospel out there with the people God was sending me and still sending me. A people that need God. A people that can't exist without God. A people that needs God every day. A people that want to get there. That got dreams. That got some vision. That's got some place called there in their heart, in their thinking. Says, I got to get there. God put it in you, but you're going to need God to get there. He can tell you all the specs of the there, but you're still going to need him to get you there. He can give you the whole blueprint, the blueprint, everything, but you're still going to need him to get there. You're going to still need to have to work with people to get there. Now it was halfway. They were no longer a joke now, but a threat. We are a threat to the work of darkness within the city of Milwaukee. I get hit on a daily basis because what I'm trying to accomplish is a vision that didn't come from me, but from God for our city, to our founder, to the international work. I pay a price every day to keep those doors open. Every day, I got to put up with the naysayers and people that says, it can't be done. I look back and says, man, I don't know what you're seeing, but we're halfway there. And that's me being humble this morning. That's me being humble saying we're halfway there. I really think we're about three-thirds of the way there. Amen? But it hasn't come easy. But I wake up with the Lord and I go to sleep with the Lord, so I'm able to take on not just the pressure of being married and having children, but all your all's pressure. You want to talk about pressure? I know about pressure, but I also know about God's faithfulness. The pressure has made me, has kept me, and made me sharper, and been able to love people at another level at times that they don't deserve. It's called grace and mercy. So they start off as a joke, verses 1 to 3. Chapter 4, 6 now, they're no longer a joke. They're halfway there. So the enemy sets up shop and starts strategizing as we go to chapter 4, 7, 8. And the Bible reads, "But when Sanballat and Tobiah," and the Arabs, this is the enemy, "and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead," the city has heard that VO Milwaukee is still here, is still going ahead, that's got a plan called there, using a people that are not a people. Heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps of the wall, even Sally's gap. Gabby said, "Man, shoot, he ain't coming through here. I better get to work." The Bible goes on to say what's going ahead and that the gaps in the wall, Sally's portion, maybe somebody here this day's portion, I ain't looking at you, amen? In your heart say, he's talking about me. And the Bible reads, going ahead, and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, and they were furious. Another translation says that the gaps were no longer there, coming together. And the Bible says, goes on to say that they all made plans. The enemy's strategizing right now. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. Started off as a joke in verses 1 to 3. In verse 6, the wall's halfway up. We're no longer a joke. Jerusalem was no longer a joke. And then we get to verse 8, where now they're wanting a fight. Instead of making fun of the feeble Jews, because they saw the people that were going to do the work and they knew they couldn't do it, but they had a leader called Nehemiah, they had a leader called God, and now they want to fight because what's taking place is no longer a joke. Question, are you still a joke to the enemy? Spiritually speaking. Because he'll let you build all you want as long as you don't build spiritually. Are you still a joke to the enemy or are you no longer a joke to the enemy? I'm talking brave right now. I'm going to deal with this one after the service. He coming after me. He going to jump in the car with me and all that. But we've duked it out in the car, down the freeway, everything. With me, just me in the car. So the enemy knows I am not a joke. He knows I am connected to the one that defeated him at the cross. He knows that I am connected to him not just on Sunday, because it's the religious thing to do. But he knows I'm connected to the one that defeated him at the cross every day. He knows what being connected is because at one time, the enemy was in full charge of my life. I was connected to him 24/7 every day and minute of the week. I was connected to the enemy. So the enemy knows when I do something, I go all out. The Bible says, either be hot or cold, in or out. So the enemy knew that when I was running with him and connected to him, it wasn't just on Sunday or on a Friday night, so to speak, but that I was connected to him every day, committed to the point of ODing over 15 times, shot at all everything that comes with all that. So the enemy knows what commitment looks like, because we all at one time were committed to the work of the enemy. You don't have to be an ex-gang member, drug addict to be connected to the work of the enemy. You could be a college graduate and be a connection of the enemy. It don't matter what you have, what you drive, that says that you're connected to Jesus or not. So my life is connected to Jesus, and just because it's connected to Jesus don't mean that he ain't going to attack me, because he is and he will. Because he knows if he can get me, the Bible scripture says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. See, we got to get to a place where we're no longer a joke to the enemy. Amen. It gets hard, and I understand people. It gets real hard. Everybody trying to come up and have a better life. I get it. I understand. I want that too. But I want to go with a group of people having that. I know that any family and every family here can make it. I am proof of that. Our ministry all around the world, the conference, we just came back, the World Conference, from all over the different countries were there. Different tongues and accents of all kinds. The proof that any man, any woman, any young adult can make it, but you're going to have to get committed to the one that is victorious and paid the price in full for us to be able to get there, to get where God wants us at. To be a blessing way beyond unto our family, a blessing. But it gets hard in closing in chapter 4, verse 14. So now there were a joke, 1 to 3 verses. There were no longer a joke, verse 6. The wall was halfway built. And we find ourselves. And then verse 8 says they wanted to fight. Then we get to verse 14, Nehemiah speaking. Then it says that, then as I looked over the situation, because there's times in whatever you're trying to build, you got to stop and look the situation over. In your life, and those that you're working with, those that you're connected with, there's times you got to stop and overlook the situation. You're halfway there. We're halfway there. Nehemiah and the workers were halfway there. And the Bible says that he stopped. Then as he looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the enemy. And then he calls them to remember. That's a big word there. Remember the Lord. See, a lot of times when we get going good and things start happening, jumping off and doing good, we can forget the Lord. A lot of times when the enemy's attacking and things all of a sudden take a turn and it's not looking good, it's easier to try to solve the problem ourselves instead of remembering the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Why? He once again using that home as leverage. Fight for your old lady. Fight for your children. Because I say it always and I'll say it again. The strength of your house is what you bring to the church. It's the actual strength of the church. The church ain't a magical place that makes your family strong.
Your house is the magical place that makes your house strong. Your house is the magical place that makes the church strong. It's in your house where you live 7 days a week. Church is, if you're lucky, one day out of the week. But your house is the real altar, is the real sanctuary. Your house is where you connect with Jesus. So when you come to church and you hear the gospel preached, you can believe and say, Pastor, we're going to get there. Pastor, I got your back. Pastor, we made it halfway. We're going to get all the way there. And we're taking the hood with us. We're taking the suburb with us. We're going to take Milwaukee for Jesus. Because if we've come halfway with nothing, we can surely make it there with some things now. My question to you is, what do you have to offer in doing your part in getting there? Nehemiah once again singles out the family, the brothers, the sisters, sons and daughters and wives, and the house. Because he knew that's where the true strength was. It wasn't at the workplace. It's at the house where truth is at. It's at the house where lies are at. It's what you do at your house, not where you work at, wherever your boss is. Victory comes from where you live. It's the place that you learn to connect with Jesus. So you can not only be able to hit, but be able to take a hit. Take a hit. In Christ, you're going to have to be able to take a hit. The ones you got coming. And then you got to learn how to take a hit in the ones that you don't have nothing to do with. Still got to get chin checked. And get back up. And get back up. Because we ain't there yet. We're halfway there. We ain't there yet. We're halfway there. We ain't there yet. We're halfway there. As we stand here this day, what do you have to contribute to the wall that surrounds this city, that for the majority grew up in? I grew up in Texas. Amen? I grew up in Texas. Soy Tejano 100%. But I'm no longer a Cowboy fan. I'm a Green Bay fan. Amen? Sorry, Cowboys. Sorry, Chava. What are you going to do? Because we all got it there in our heart. We all got a dream in our heart. We all got it there. I don't care if you grew up in the hood. There's a there in your heart. There's a place that God has shown you that you're convinced you can get to. He's convinced you can get there also. But he knows that certain things got to happen in your life to get there. Certain things got to happen in your life connected with the life of Jesus in order for you to get there. You know, yesterday, Alberto running the crew there with the carpet cleaning. They had an all big time day yesterday at church. Big money came in yesterday, but it was one day only. But it was a glimpse, just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of the there, of the finances that are sure to come to the church. A glimpse. And it was good. Alberto was happy. Pastor, guess what? Help me bid this job. Okay, what's the footage? All right, this is what you do, Alberto. Pastor, I gave Jay instructions and I left and he broke the one stick to rub the carpet. Said, Alberto, these things are going to happen, Alberto. Be nice to Jay. You need him. Now, if you want to rebuke him, go rebuke him. Go buy a new brush, and you're going to have to do it all by yourself. Listen to my instructions. Encourage Jay. You need him. He broke the stick, Pastor. I told him to use the little brush on the car, but he used the bait. He broke it, and we haven't even started. All right, Alberto, this is what we do, Alberto. It's not about the stick. It's about Jay right now. You need him. Yeah, I know he screwed up, but don't let him know that. Jay, for those viewing online, is the one playing the keyboard, hearing everything I'm saying right now, because I'll tell it to his face. Jay, Roberta was talking about you. Mm-hmm. They had victory. And I said, how'd Jay do? Man, Pastor Jay. Jay did it up, man. It looked like he jumped in the swim. It was a humid day out there. Yeah, it was a humid day today. Again, I'm all sweated out right now. But this is what I'm at work right now. This is what I do. I preach the gospel. I tell it like it is. I know when to bring this situation out at the right time. See, Jay can't get mad right now. He's got to keep a smiling face because you guys are watching. So I kind of let the air out of the tire. So by the time after the altar call, he's going to be okay. Jay did real good. And I felt like telling Alberto, I told you. But I didn't. Ask me how victorious they came out that day. They came out so victorious after an all-day job in a big monster church without the AC on. Amen? They were so happy they took a bike ride afterwards. Bike ride? Which got Alberto barely being able to walk this morning. And I told him, don't look at me like that. It wasn't the carpet job. It was the bike ride you took. The adrenaline was flowing at the time, but then came the morning where he had to get up. And I tell him, I'm long-winded. I was at it all day yesterday with Jason there at my house, sweated through. 1,000 mosquitoes on deck. I can get bit by mosquitoes. I'm immune to them now. I don't put off no more. I let them bite me, but I don't itch no more. I'm immune to them. I've been bit a million trillion times. I'm immune to mosquitoes. I got a big one right here in the cheek, man. They got me in the morning right before I feeding the chickens before I came here. And I was slopping mud and everything out there. Looked like Farmer Bill this morning, but I look like a pastor right now. Amen. They got a peek of the there. They called the Stanley and all the big guys, but they couldn't get there. But our crew got there. Two guys were day off, not no more. Get to work. Because we have a vision in getting there and taking the people that would never get there if we can't get them there. See, we first got to get there in order to get them there. And God's raising up men, women, and young adults in this church right now that know the plan, the spiritual plan of getting there. But we need people. Like any business does, McDonald's, Burger King, people are needed. And the good news for you guys, it's not a perfect people, but simply a willing people that are willing to be taught and learn who to connect with to get there. And as we come together, God will fulfill the plan and the vision you have for your very own life, your family, your children. And you'll see it come together. Go back to the verse, the last one. Last verse, 14, I believe it was. In the middle, it says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. Right now, he's giving some a glimpse of what you need to do in order, when you get there, to be able to stand under all the pressure and to be able to stand. The Bible says, and after standing, stand some more. Too many people get halfway there if they're lucky, and they go back, and they go back, and they go back, and they never get to the place of the there that God intended them to get to. Whatever the song is, love. Right there, the altar call is right there where you're at. Some of you need to just close your eyes. Let it be you and Jesus.
I will follow you no matter what.
What shift do you need to take today to get to the there? The there of your dreams. If you can see it, you can get there. If you can see it, you can get there. You first got to be able to see it, then you got to believe it, and then you got to see people. You got to see people to get to the there. People. Besides seeing it, believing it, people is the most important one in the getting there. Sometimes it's easier, the better thing, to encourage somebody instead of correcting somebody. Knowing their value, knowing their purpose. But it takes a bigger man, a bigger woman to encourage than to correct.
I will follow you no matter what the call.
Speak to the Lord right there where you're at from your heart.
I will answer the call.
Tell him, I see it, Lord, I see it.
I will answer.
Tell him, I see it, I see the there, Lord. I see the there. I see it, Lord.
I have heard the Master calling.
Tell the Lord I can't get there alone.
I will follow you.
Tell the Lord, first of all, I need you. Second of all, I need people to get to the place called there. Jesus connected to your there. Is Jesus connected to your there? Tell him, fill my tank up. I see the place called there. Jesus put first to the place of your there.
I give my life away. I give my life away. I give my life away.
Be that next man, that next woman, that next young adult that's going to help the church, build the walls that encamp around the city of Milwaukee. Be part of what Jesus is wanting to do. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're no longer a joke but a threat to the work of the enemy. Oh, shatarabasitarabakoya. Move, Holy Spirit. Empower, Holy Spirit. Encourage, Holy Spirit. Forgive him or her, Holy Spirit. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
And I will reach the world.
For we are all part of the plan in the building of the temple of Jesus. Of bringing the inner city, the suburbs of Milwaukee, to a place called there, to a place of victory. No matter what the past was about, that there is before us. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Surrender here this day. Do you see it? If you can see it, you can do it. I see what the Lord wants to do. I've been seeing it. But until you see it for yourself, the process in getting there will take time. Off the clock. But if you can see with me, the time will be shortened in getting people saved. Please give me the SOS 200 picture, please. Operation SOS 200. SOS represents salvation of souls. That's the name of our carpet business, SOS carpet carpet cleaning. It's finances to generate getting people saved. It's God's plan. So why can I not believe that it's going to work? I think Alberto's been seeing it earlier than I did. Like, are you going to make it work, right, Alberto? Pastor, man. Pastor. Come on, Pastor, he tells me. I go, encourage me, Alberto, encourage me right now. Because we're busted. Encourage me. God can do anything whenever he wants to at a drop of a hat. When he sees what's right within the heart and getting to the place called there. You got to really, really want it. Not just to work hard, but to spend time with the Lord, you got to really want it. And then it makes sense to work really, really hard after you have spent time with the Lord. Father, this day we thank you. We love you for your word, Lord. Father God, I thank you for the people that are here this day, Lord. They all have a place called there in their heart, Lord. They all might be different places, but they all got one. Because you placed it there. And one by one, you're allowing them to see that place called there that you have given them. And I pray, Lord Father God, that you encourage the man here this day, the sister, the young adult, and those viewing online right now, Lord. For if you've shown it to them, they can do it. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this Sunday morning. Amen. God bless each and every one of you all. If anybody needs a session, my wife and I, we are here for you. We love you. God bless you. Go and be with the Lord.